Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts David Von Strawn and Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Really loud in here. I just want to warn
now,
you.
Here's David and Leslie.
Hello!
Yes.
It is June the 24th.
Yes.
It has rained so hot.
So hot.
But we bring you the light.
He went to New Jersey there for a second.
We bring you the home. Bring you the new Charlottesville. This is Homegrown! 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. the Furious Rucker, a.k.a. the Red Swap, a.k.a. Black Frodo.
Especially with that hair, man.
This little guy with ugly feet trying to get through the darkness.
And some big hair.
Big old.
Some big old hair.
You know? And I believe in deep friendships.
Do you?
With good friends.
So you and Sean Astin rocking it like that?
Well, I'm just saying I'm not gonna like knock on their friendship like that. They were like ride or die homies.
It was lovely.
And speaking of lovely,
yes,
is with me the lovely, loquacious, lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Well, good morning. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How have you been?
I've been very, very busy. I did a lot of driving yesterday.
Where'd you go?
I went to like the butthole of Virginia.
No, it really was.
It really was. Like down below.
I wasn't ready for that.
Go on.
Like below Roanoke, like past like Tech and past like all the way down. Like,
Danville?
Oh,
I mean, I'm not trying to like, you know,
no,
do Danville.
I said
like
I went
that.
To the butthole, not the other part. But anyway. So
Danville's like the perineum of Virginia? You would say?
The taint, if you will.
See, I wanted to use medical terminology because I'm respectful. But
that taint right, y'all.
Nothing you can do about that joke. It's coming. And you just got to sit and wait and then laugh your ass off. Okay. No, I went to visit a dear friend of mine yesterday and we had sushi and went to see Solo. So yeah.
Oh, what'd you think?
I loved it.
See,
can I just say, Donald Glover, did he like he seriously channeled the young Billy Dee Williams?
I sat in the theater and as soon as Glover started doing his Billy Dee impersonation,
yes, yes!
I said, worth the entire ticket.
Worth it.
I'm going to sit here.
Worth it.
The entire ticket.
And he did not break it either. I mean, he stayed on it the entire movie. And it was.
And people
golden.
Were mad that it wasn't, there wasn't more of him. But,
I was a little upset there wasn't more of him too, but
Lando,
you know.
Lando movie.
Yeah, they're talking about
movie.
It. They're talking
you hear
about
me,
it.
Star Wars Lando movie. We've got to know more.
What
about
did
this
you feel about
man.
The cinematography? Because I thought it was kind of dark and muddy and murky and
a little bit
hard to see.
Yes, it was.
The Kessel Run was amazing.
But I think that I think that was purposeful.
I do too.
I think that was purposeful because they were telling like the before of Han. So I think they wanted it kind of gritty and like not clear.
That's kind of important to tell. All right.
Yeah.
Clinton's telling, all right, shut up. We're done with our banter. All right. So I thought Solo was cool. Everybody's like, it's getting bad box office, but you should really see it.
No,
you should really see it.
It was so good.
Okay. I'm going to jump in.
Okay.
Little soapbox, open letter to all of us. It's such, I think, a disservice and a shame that since the 80s, we have so been obsessed with box office, and we have been, and we have been taught to somehow equate box office with value.
Yes, with
and
a
it
good
was
movie,
so
right.
much better when we didn't know box office. That's something for the accountants to worry about. Good movies don't always make a lot of money.
That's right.
And bad movies sometimes do. That's a fact. don't worry about box office.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, that's true. Because, like, yeah, I mean, it's, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And that's what you're supposed to go to the movies for, right? To sit down and be transported somewhere else and have a good time. And that's exactly what happened.
Booyah. Truth bomb. Yeah. Dropped on you by executive producer of Homegrown, Clinton Johnson. But without further ado, since we're, you know, speaking of such eloquence about perenniums and such, we have a wondrous poet onto the show. A wordsmith, you might say. Better than us. You could very well say.
Couldn't get any better than that.
Mariana Dunn is in the house, in the Homegrown house, and for the very first time.
And we're so glad she has a sense of humor.
Yeah. We are. We are. Blessed, you should say. I'm surprised she hasn't walked out the door already.
We scared her earlier.
Hashtag blessed. Yeah. How are you?
I'm all right.
All right. Thank you for coming in
Thank you so much for having me.
Sunday. Because it is 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock is 10 early o'clock. In Sunday Charlottesville. So it's like 7 o'clock everywhere else. So I appreciate you. But you have your first poetry chapbook dropping down in Seaville. Release event and signing at the New Dominion Bookshop June 28th. 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. because if they don't shut the doors, it's just going to go on all night. It's just going to be people swinging from the rafters. Like, it's going to be off the chain.
It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy.
As someone might say.
As the kids.
As the kids like
to say. But we got to ask, what is a chapbook?
It's a slim volume of verse. So it's a collection of about up to about 45 pages. It doesn't really count as a book, I don't think, or a collection.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. That kind of looks like a book.
Yeah,
it's a collection. Yeah. You got markers and stuff. So, I mean, if you got to mark it, I think it's...
It's a little book, which is appropriate because it's called Letters to Little mm-hmm. Smills.
But it's got big stuff in it. So what possessed you to put everything into a book and say, I'm going to make myself a book? You know, what takes you from, like, just, you know, enthusiastic poet to...
Well, in this case, it was the subject matter itself. So I had letters, copies of letters and originals of letters that had been written to my ancestors since 1792.
Oh, wow.
And so I wanted to work with the material, and the only way to do it was in a chapbook format.
Huh.
So I just couldn't put it together in a small enough piece to call it a poem, or a big enough piece to call it a collection.
Right on. And the title of the book is called?
Letters to Little Smills.
Okay. Talk about that.
Well, Little Smills was a farm that went on to become a plantation in the 19th century.
So, got you.
So the Littles were my ancestors.
Okay. Littles.
Little
Mills.
Smills. Yeah, so.
See, I think of the Littles like the cartoon. But
so how did you find these letters?
Well, the first set of letters is a really interesting story. So the original immigrant that they were written to was a man named Billy Little, who was an apprentice in England, and he did not like the terms of his apprenticeship, and he ran away. He shipped all his apprenticeship materials, and then in the middle of the night, he walked from Liverpool to Carlisle, which I think would have taken about 4 days. I Google mapped it. And he became actually a remarkable cabinet maker. I mean, like, really fine cabinet maker. So,
my man said, "I'm gonna do this myself."
Yeah, right. Well, exactly. You know,
I mean, there's
a lot of irony in it because then he went on to enslave people. You know, so
interesting.
And
capitalism strikes.
Right, yeah, exactly. But he made a table with a secret drawer in it. And in the 1930s, somebody bought the table in that area, Richmond County, Virginia, and opened the secret drawer, and it was full of original letters that had been written from England.
I saw that episode of Antique Roadshow.
Really?
It was crazy, right? Nobody knew.
So the person who ended up with the letters had them, they would have called it photo engraved in those days, but they had them photo engraved, and then they just hunted down everybody that was related to this person.
That's
and
cool.
Yes, very cool. So I actually have the photo engravings on one side of the page and the typed version on the other. Then the other letters, because they continued to own the farm well into the 20th century. So my grandmother was the youngest of the children. And so my father ended up with the original letters that were written later on by another side of the family from 1850 on to the end of the 19th century. So that's where I got the material. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I got to hear some of this material. Okay. Like, so yes. Without further ado, can you read?
Yeah,
something?
Let me also tell you that what I wanted to do with it was, because you heard the voice of the people who enslaved people, I wanted the people who were enslaved to speak as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 19th century, there were some musicologists that went around and collected spirituals.
Yes.
Collected the lyrics of spirituals. And so I found those. And I'll read you the opening poem. It shows that there are three voices in here, so you'll get a chance to hear all three of the voices. This is called The Reaping. Horizon wide, that amber, scythe harvest, bent double calico, sun-scorched ghost, my life, you reap. Sir, I have never had the fortune to fall into any situation but as a servant in husbandry. England, at the present time, as I have no doubt you have been informed, is in distressed situation, and almost every class of people and trades are laboring under very trying circumstances. If I don't see you more, now God bless you if I don't see you more. A great number of laborers are not employed, and those that have employment, their wages are so small they cannot maintain their families. But what is still more to be lamented is many cannot be hired at all. Such is my situation at present, which induces me to write you as a friend and countryman. Your petitioner is fully persuaded you will do everything in your power to assist me in bread, providing it is advisable for me to come to America. Yours, Joseph. You are the bread that I eat still. You are the grains. I am the grains you sowed and milled. Hands and water turn the wheel and grind the bread that I eat still. Dear brothers, I take the pleasure of writing you a few lines in Joseph's letter, as he wishes to come to America if we part in the body, but we meet in the spirit. You think you could get him a situation, we wish you to endeavor. I think you could get him work as an overseer in such a place as Brother Thomas had. Goodbye, my brother. Goodbye. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Can I just say the line, my life, you reap?
That yeah.
just that hit me.
Yeah. Right on. How many movies do we have? Three. Four. Okay. So I wanted to ask, because I was curious about this, why did you choose the medium of poetry specifically to tell these stories? Because, I mean, you could have done it in a short story, you could have done it in a novella, you could have done it in even, like, you know, in a musical, maybe. But
somebody could have, but not me. So, actually, you know, and I kept finding these letters over and over and thinking, oh, if I were a novelist, I would turn this into a novel.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, but I'm not, and I don't like historical fiction. And so this isn't going to work, and I'm a poet. So after a long time, it suddenly hit me, why not make this into found poetry?
Yeah.
And that was it. I mean, that's just how I write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how long did it take for you to drill into the fact that, no, you're a poet as opposed to other writers? Because people have, I know that the writers are have different paths.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes, like, they try different things mm-hmm. and try different, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know, they try a little of this. Like, I tried some short stories.
Yeah.
I tried a little poetry. And the first time I tried writing plays, I was, boom, like, oh.
Mm. Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what feels
yeah.
comfortable
yeah.
for me. That's what it is. So what about, did you try a bunch of stuff, or did you, from the very beginning, did you think poetry?
Oh, that's such a great question. As a child, poetry. And then as I was getting older, I did try to dab in short stories and longer fiction, just very privately. When I dropped writing altogether for decades, and when I came back, it was kind of the same thing. It's like, look, I'm a poet, you know? That's what I always wanted to do. So it's kind of come back to your beginnings and do what you do well.
Mm-hmm.
So, in dealing with the history in these letters, like, did you already know your family history? Did you already know that your ancestors had owned slaves and all of
yeah,
that?
I did.
So, what was the? You know, I mean, we're in an area where there's a lot of that,
yeah,
but not necessarily a lot of people who
yes.
recognize it
yes.
and accept it and actually. Not just broadcast it, but find a way to live into it in a positive way. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about that journey for you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just incredibly painful, and I'm terribly ashamed of it. Mm-hmm. And I would like to hide, but you can't. And, you know, I mean, I appreciate that you jumped on that. You are, you know, what exactly is the line? But I am the grain that you reap, yeah. Whatever, you know, mm-hmm. that we're all reaping this still. We're yeah. still all harvesting it. And we've harvested it here terribly in our community.
Right.
And so I just feel like I'm not the kind of person that wants confrontation. You know,
right.
I don't want people looking at me and saying, you know, you're people, enslaved people. And yet I feel like we've got to stand up to it and we've got to admit it because it is the backbone of this entire country.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not just the South, but the whole country.
Yeah, it's like alcoholism. The first step is admitting that you
yeah,
have a problem.
Exactly.
And the problem right. is this elephant right. in the room
yeah,
of,
yeah, yeah,
of
yeah.
slavery
yeah.
and its descendants. And how do we recuperate? How do we deal? How do we navigate through that? How do we talk about it?
It is the backbone of the entire country. Do you know how much I love hanging out with poets?
Right?
Because they just drop things.
And you're like,
they just do.
Can we mic drop that and just go to commercial like right now? All right. We're going to pay some of these bills. I'll let you, Jeff. This is Homegrown Drop.
This is local author Katie Baldwin, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
17 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown. That's right, I said 17.
Yeah.
94.7.
So no, it was lovely. You went
WPVC.
You went to Jersey earlier this morning, and you've come back home.
The progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That there's Leslie.
Oh my God.
Clinton over here on the boards right here. Marianna Dunn! No, I'm just kidding. Marianna Dunn is in the house. She is a poet. She has written a wonderful chapbook called Letters to Littles Mills. Release event signing at the New Dominion Bookshop, June 28th, 7 to 8. And I just wanted to delve into like the technical aspect of it personally. Like when you came across the stuff, how long did it take to accumulate the stuff, the order of it, editing that took place? Like talk about that. Talk
sure.
about the entire process. And
well, first of all, let me give a shout out to Writer House.
Shout out to Writer House.
Because I worked a lot in workshopping with other people in Writer House,
cool.
and that was hugely helpful.
Go to the Writer House, y'all, if y'all want to get your write on. You know, she's saying that it's a great tool to use. I'm just trying to plug Charlottesville peoples.
But beyond that,
support local business. Writer
reading
House.
The letters. I got the book of. I told you that it was collected by a musicologist,
right.
Which I think is called Slave Songs of the United States, and you can get it down. It's a downloadable or purchasable on demand from Amazon. And I would read the letters and just kind of sit with them sometimes. It would happen in different ways. Sometimes, since I knew I was working on it, an idea would just come to me. One I can think of is I was collecting together old T-shirts and things that I wanted to make into a quilt someday, but I knew I wouldn't. So I put them in a bag, and I wrote on the bag, quilt I know I'll never make. And I was just like, oh my God, because I knew that enslaved people, one of the best expressions of art
yes.
that you could have was quilting.
Yes.
And so I thought this belongs in the book. So that led me to write a poem about someone who never made a quilt. And I'm like, well, why didn't she make the quilt? What would keep her from making this quilt?
Right.
So sometimes it happened that way. Sometimes Robert Hayden is one of my favorite poets. And one time reading his Runagate, which was about escaping onto the Underground Railroad, along with a poem in which one of my ancestors was like, well, you know, why would these people want to do such a thing as run away? I mean, what idiots, you know? And that kind of just kind of came out of that one.
Mm.
So different ways. But when I was reading them, after I had the poems, then I would just keep going through and going through the collection of songs and read. And I had them marked, songs that I might use, and then
right.
see how they played against the poetry.
Wow. There's a conference going on over there. I don't know.
No. I was actually we were on the same plane. Whereas I wanted to hear the quilt joint.
Okay, great.
If you had it, do you have it marked, or is there specific ones that you want to do for this?
That's okay.
Thing?
Let me do this one because I brought it up and it's not that hard.
No worries.
It's a little bit. I didn't know anything much about the people, so I made a lot of the people up. So the person is imaginary. It's called The Wedding Gift.
Okay.
One. By the way, I heard from one time in poetry, the worst word you can ever hear in a poetry reading is three. One, the quilt she knows she'll never make, Emmy keeps in scraps in a closed box on the floor of her one small room. Butter white homespun cotton, jean from Brother Sam's winter pants, Sunday meeting best brocade given to her mother by the old mistress when it tore, and pieces of sister's Lindsay Woolsey baby clothes. Two. At the age of 12, Emmy was brought to Little's Mills with Miss Fanny and her husband. She was a wedding present from the bride's parents. On the train to Carolina, Emmy held a bag of rags to her chest like a nursling child. As she slept, the whispered love talk of her new owners faded like smoke that trailed behind them all the way back to Oxford. As the train pulled into Charlotte, Emmy thought she heard her mother calling, but it was only Miss Fanny shaking her awake. Three. Mornings, a squalid light passes over her splintered windowsill and briefly catches on a line of those strange white shells Emmy finds sometimes in her garden and collects like coins. A quilt could make her corn-shuck mattress warmer, brighten the dreary of her attic room, but some things, once closed, cannot again be opened.
I like that. I like that one. I liked all of the descriptions of the rags and the stories that the rags came from. I like the first stanza a lot. That's dope. I like that a lot. Leslie's over there, just like immersed in it.
My mom's a quilter.
Speak on it.
So she has an entire room in her house that is full of scraps of different kinds of fabric.
And she knows that, like, where every single piece, like,
oh, yes,
derived from.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Crazy.
My mother believes that everything has a place and everything should be in its place.
Whoa.
So she's, like, all arranged it. Like, she has these drawers that, like, and also arranged by color. Because my mom.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's got a blue drawer and a pink drawer and a white drawer. And then she's got hangers in the closet that are ideas that she hasn't finished. So yeah, that imagery just like literally took me to my mom's sewing room. Yeah.
That's the work of a good poet.
And it was, exactly. And that's when I was a school teacher, we got a grant from the Virginia Commission to the Arts. And I met with the people of African American history in Williamsburg to talk to them about art
quilts
and enslavement, and they said that you would have done that. It was almost like a scrapbook. You would have kept those little scraps, and they would have had meaning. So she, before she left, you know, knowing she was going to leave, she was taking a little bit from each
from
member
everything.
Of her family, but then she couldn't bear to look at it.
Yeah.
When did you start writing, Mary Hannah Dawn? When did you start writing poetry and start?
When I learned how to spell.
Aww.
I wrote my first poem when I was 7.
Right on.
And it was
that's
the first,
awesome.
Only one to be published until I was well into my 40s.
It's usually how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard life being an artist.
Yeah, I got a few published pieces as like a child, and then like after that, it was just like downhill. You know? I rise.
Yeah,
you know.
I had nothing. I had nothing until like my 40s.
Really?
So
yeah, I won like a PTA like contest for like.
Well, I mean, if you don't count like the high school newspaper, and
right.
I don't. So, like, no. It's hard life.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I mean by that is when did you start putting it into like collective form?
Oh, in this particular thing, I'd say, you know, I don't know, but it's been several years, 7 or 8 years probably since I started work on this.
Oh, wow. And it's just coming to fruition, and like all of it's just like finally like right here in book form. How long did it take to like get it into a print form? Like to go to a publisher, or is this self-published?
No, it actually, this is unbelievable. This doesn't usually happen, but it was accepted the first place I sent it.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, that does not normally happen.
No, Get the F out of here.
That does not happen with my individual poems.
It doesn't happen with writers either. I mean, do you know how many agents I went through? Like, it was like 4.5 months of just writing query letters and sending it. And like, I mean, and I just got so fed up with it. I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll just do it myself.
Same here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's usually very, very hard. And I'm still struggling to get into magazines. I've only had a few things in magazines. I don't know what it was. It wasn't that, like, you know, it wasn't a super challenging press to break into by any means, but it was, I was stunned, and I was kind of sitting on the thought of whether or not to accept the offer when the KKK came here for the first time. And I'm like, I got to get this out. I'm not going
to
think about this.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, I think you, so it's interesting. So that was before our visits from our far, far right, far, far right brothers.
I was in the process of making the decision when they showed up the first time.
Wow.
I'm like, nope, I'm not waiting. They was like in the spring, the very first time, those people from Reidsville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so you've stumbled into having your pulse right on, or your finger right on the pulse of what's going on in society right now.
And I wanted to speak a different voice, to say, yes, I am a Southerner. Yes, I am descended from planters. And no, I am not defending this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And can I say, it's just sad that in our community we have to be like, oh, the KKK when they came in. Yeah. The KKK when they came in, like, last year. Yeah. Like, come on. Like, yeah. It's bad in Seville.
Yeah.
They've just, like, opened the red carpet.
For real. For real.
That's interesting you say that, because I was just speaking to an acquaintance of mine, and she told me that she is the direct descendant of Breckinridge, Jefferson Davis's a Secretary of War. And she was talking about what that meant. And she said, you know, all these people who talk about Confederate heritage, and I'm like, what are you talking about? No, that's not something that,
right.
that you need to celebrate. That's not right. Something to feel proud of. That's not.
But it's interesting to me how they divorce themselves of that part of it. Like, they really think that, or they have been, you know, taught to think that this heritage that they've inherited, it was about defending their country. And it's right. Like, no, yeah. No, facts are different, darling.
Yeah. That store bought all that brainwashing you were talking about,
right?
Like, that y'all talk about now, that's lost cause, baby.
Yeah, lost cause.
That's product
lost cause.
Of it.
You weren't defending your country. You were trying to turn away from your country.
Well, thank you for sharing a piece of your heritage, Mariana Dunn. That's very prophetic and very meaningful. And we wish you well. And I know it's got to be an exciting time for you. All that work, you know, go to the book signing, get turned up. We gonna have a good time. Did you have something to say, Clinton?
Yeah, thanks for giving an example of how artists deal with this, I just want to also point out that it's such a wonderfully artistic thing, taking your past, taking your present, taking the world and transforming it into art.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much. Oh, that was so great. That's so great. And we're going into artistic events. Do I hear music? We got music going. I should have put on headphones. Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week, currently running. Now through July 1st, A Chorus Line at UVA's Colbert Theater, part of the Heritage Summer Theater Festival. Now through September 9th, The Gun Gunner, Old Techniques Remain Strong, an exhibition of paintings on eucalyptus bark from the West Daly region of Northern Australia at the Kluge Roo Aboriginal Art Collection. We had the program director on
long
ago. She was awesome. It sounds like an awesome place. You can only catch Aboriginal art in Charlottesville or in Australia. So save yourself a plane ticket and go there. Currently running now through December 8th, the American Shakespeare Center runs its summer fall season with just 4 plays. Emma Whitday's adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma, George Etheridge's The Man of Mode, or Sir Fopling Flatter. And Richard III, and As You Like It.
Richard III, you say?
Shakespeare. 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 Currently running. now through January 27th, Reflections, Native Art Across Generations, an exhibition of the work of several contemporary Native American artists at UVA's Fralin Art Museum.
Hey, the Fralin Museum, lovely.
June 26th, the UVA Fralin Art Museum offers Toddlers in Artland, where museum educator Emily Lazaro introduces...
Can I just say that was Toddlers in Artland? It sounded like topless in Artland, but for our listeners, that was Toddlers in Artland.
I think they would have got a bigger crowd if we just left it where it was.
Dave was just trying to help him out a little bit.
That probably what adds to Toddlers in Artland. I'm just saying... Causation, not correlation. Introduces parent and toddler pairs to big ideas in development theory through playful practice strategies. Also, June 26th, Lighthouse Studio presents The Song Remains the Same at Vinegar Hill Theater, part of the Vinegar Hill 76 film series. June 27th, Laugh Your Ass Off, comedy host battle at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Shout out to Chris Ellen and Winston Hodges.
What's
keeping
up?
It funny in Seville.
Hey, Chris, you could come
the
on
time.
The show again.
You
I'm just saying.
You could really, like, just come on the show and say
whatever.
What's up, since we be plugging your ass all the time.
Anyway.
June 28th, the Charlottesville Opera presents a selection of arias at Opera in the Park at the Ix Art Park. Get out of town.
How about that?
I didn't know that was happening.
Opera.
I almost hit Ryan Wimmer on the way. To practice the other day. I just wanted to say that. Shout out Ryan Wimmer. Follow the crosswalk and don't cross when the light is green. I mean, I know you believe in free love, but free love gonna get your ass killed. June 30th, polish up your writing's core components. Writer's diamonds, similes, metaphors, rhythm, and style at the Charlottesville Writer House. Hey, with instructor Jane Martin. Shout out to Jane Martin. Thank you for helping Mary Anna Dunn and getting that book out here. July 13th and the 15th, the Morpintown Film Festival.
Yes!
At the Jefferson School of African American Heritage Center. And for your music options this week.
Today, Two Wishes Trio at the Batesville Market. Randy Johnson and Jonah Kane West at Glass House Winery. David Tewksbury's playing in Fellini's.
I was like, hey, what? What did I do? Oh, yeah, he's awesome, though.
Tomorrow, ATM unit at Rapture. Wow. Okay. There's a lot. The 26th, Faster Than Walking at James Marone's Highland. The 27th, we got Pale Blue Dot at Rapture. Ben Hernandez and Gabe Roby play the Bluegrass. Play the Bluegrass? Play Bluegrass.
They play the Bluegrass.
The Bluegrass. You kind know. Of like the interwebs.
And they're gonna put it on the Twitters.
At the Whiskey Jar. The Bobbleheads at Dirty Nelly's. Junior's Last Stand at Dirty Nelly's. Disco Risque.
Dope ass
plays
name.
Fridays after 5 at Spring Pavilion on the 29th. On the 30th, Zuzu's Hot 5 at Albemarle Cider Works.
Hot 5.
Zuzu's Hot 5. Not just Hot 5. Zuzu's Hot 5.
Zuzu's Hot 5.
Gym Wave at the Hardywood Pilot Brewery and Tap Room on the 30th. Every Monday, we have the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot.
Seafoot.
Friends of Old Time Music. The weekly open jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. Songwriter Night at the Local. Oh, my God. That's just Monday, people.
That's just Monday.
So Tuesdays, we got the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Perez and Humberto Sales at the Bebodero. Every Wednesday, open mic night at the Pro Ray, Not a Farm Brewery.
Bam!
Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo.
Bam!
Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9.
Bam!
DJ and Friends at the Bebodero.
Bam!
Bachata Fusion at the Ix Art Park.
Bam! I just wasn't expecting that. Oh, that's
Stoner Rollin' at the Shabin Pub and Rye.
Rollin'!
Oh, my God. Do I need a music break? Is that what we're doing now?
No.
And the Microsensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Oh, that was all Wednesday, people.
Woo.
Okay. So Thursday, we have Lua at the Bebedero.
You already know about Thursday.
We do know about Thursday.
We do know about
because
Thursday.
What? Every Thursday... John Durf at Miller's. All right, that's your musical options this week.
All right, we're going to pay some bills, and we're going to be right back with our next guest, but this is Homegrown
Trap.
Hey, this is Keith Morris, Keith Morris and the Crooked Numbers, and you're listening to 94.7 Homegrown Radio.
Oh, 35 minutes past the hour. If you're just 36 past minutes past the hour. Such a fine answer. Yep. Yeah, we're in 36. And if you're just tuning in, you are missing one hell of a homegrown 94.7.
Yeah, what's wrong with you people? Set an alarm.
Set an alarm.
Pete's sake.
W, Pete's sake, VC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. And our guest is Flora Lark and Jonah Noel. They are... But first, stay tuned. For the Sunday morning wake-up call, with your host Rick Moore, his guest today is Sherry Owen, Community Outreach Director of SARA, the Sexual Assault Resource Agency, talking about sexual assault and the cultural effect of the hashtag MeToo movement.
I thought she was here last week.
Previously recorded last week.
No, no, no. Oh. No, I know that for sure. I know that for sure, because I didn't read all
of this
stuff.
Yeah, because I was confused. I was like, I know Sherry, I saw her in the...
Yeah, they recorded it last. It's a previously recorded wake-up call.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Sorry, I was just confused, you know.
It's all right. We're going to bring you up to speed.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing me up. I was, you know, yes.
But we got now, but stay tuned for that. But now we got Flora Lark and Jonah Noel. They are spoken word speakers. They are the Fire Tigers! Fire Tigers! And that's what you
David,
need, like.
David,
like,
did you really have to go back to the 70s with that one?
No.
Did you?
Early, that was pure 80s. That was pure
80s. I don't know, man.
I mean, Iron Maiden.
Right into the danger zone.
Oh, my God.
We were born in 86, so you're about the time we were born. And no one's ever introduced us like that before, so thank you.
Yeah, it needs
just
to happen.
Just want you to know, David's available for, you know, voiceover work.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah,
that's like a five-second clip.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Put that together for you.
Fire and Smoke, they are doing a joint show with Big Blue Door, the one of the improv groups, of the many improv groups in Charlottesville, Virginia.
I'm just saying,
the Bridge Progressive Art Initiative is hosting the show on June 30th. Mm-hmm. So talk about that. Talk about hooking up with Big Blue
Door.
Well,
first of all, wait a minute. Okay. Talk about what it is you do.
Well, sure. I know what they do, but
So thank you so much, by the way, for having us. We're super excited.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I close enough to the mic?
Is this good?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're doing it perfectly.
Y'all are gorgeous.
It's good to talk to you. You can see our profiles. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing.
So we do spoken word poetry, which you guys have outlined. So there's a little bit of a difference between I guess in the poetry community, there's like different kinds.
Yes.
Spoken word poetry is the art of performance poetry. So it's basically meant to be performed on stage and listened and that kind of thing. So we are spoken word poets in that sense, but we actually identify more as performance poets because spoken word also tends to be connected to slam poetry, which is like competitive and
it's amazing.
And also very much storytelling. You know, voice sharing, like getting your voice out there, which is super important. But we actually typically like to say we're more performance poets because the show we do is actually performance. We have a set, we have a program. It's actually very dynamic, and it is poetry. There are 10 original poems in the show, but it's actually a little more intricate and different than what you would think.
Poetry is kind of like the... I wish I could...
It's okay,
guys. Poetry. Hi, Jonah.
Hi.
You know what I'm going to say.
Tell me.
Yes. So the poetry is more of the core of the show,
yes.
and then so we go through the show. It's essentially it's called Hearts, Hands, and Hugs, and it's about it's a nice fuzzy feeling, what we do is talk about trauma and the process of healing. So each poem is connected to a symbol. We have a whiteboard so once we finish the poem, we explain the symbol connected to it as a step towards healing.
Oh, thank you. That's great. Is that good? That's okay. That's okay. Is that better?
Yeah. Yes.
What is it that keeps you from calling what you're doing performance art?
It is performance art. Actually, yes. And so that's... Thank you.
Can you tell they're twins?
It is performance art. And actually, that was one of the things... we've been doing open mics for a very long time. And in 2014, we're like, we really want to put this together. And offer the world something. Offer something positive. And what can we do? So we got these 10 poems that have been written over many years...
many years apart.
Not actually meant to
be in a show.
Or even like spoken out loud.
Yeah, we hadn't even done open mics when we had made most of these poems.
Our poems were basically a way for us to work through our traumas and trying to figure out things. And like if, you know, so we talk about healthy relationships. We talk about being brave and sharing who you are. We also talk about abuse and, you know, healing from that, and creativity has been that way. Like, that's how it's helped us. And so for us, that's what the show is. It's basically our process of healing through poetry.
Yes.
But we also have gifts for everyone who comes. We start the show off with a dance. So it's very dynamic. But we say we do spoken word because everyone knows that
yes.
term. And then we can go, we're called the Fire Tigers for a reason. We reel you in, and then we sit down, and then we pounce. And then we say... And we say, well, you're here now for about an hour and a half, just sit down and listen. And, yeah. and what's beautiful about it is that we get to talk about really real issues that we don't have safe spaces typically to talk about. And we actually
in a public
way. And we say, and that's what we're doing. And so that's what we that's what the Fire Tigers are.
Yes.
So I'm wondering I'm wondering about the link between you guys and
yes.
the bridge.
Yeah. Oh.
Because there's so much going on with what you're doing. It's there's so many artistic avenues into what it is that you do. I wonder if the bridge was like, oh, that's so much what we're about.
Oh.
It's so much, you know, that kind of multi-dimensional, artistic thing.
We had done a lot of open mics. We've done a lot of open mics at the bridge for Verbs and Vibes.
Yeah,
that's where we started doing open mics in Charlottesville. And it kind of, it's changed a lot in different locations and different hosts. But that was one of our homes for the open mic. And we actually didn't have the first show we had was at Bonn. It actually has transformed since then.
Like the creative process,
yes.
Part of what we were trying to do was trying to figure out what we were trying
to do. We didn't really know what we were doing.
We just knew
what we wanted to do.
And so we've had, actually, what we love about it is very interactive. We actually have audience participation.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, there's a book that we share in the show called Waking the Tiger, Healing Trauma by Peter Levine. And we actually do an exercise from the book. Because it actually, in the book, he tries to look at the symptoms of trauma and normalize that so we can actually have if you're
this
born and you've lived, you probably have trauma, you probably need therapy. Let's just talk about it in a way that is accessible for everyone, because everyone can, you know, has experiences with trauma.
And so to answer your question about the bridge, it's interesting because we had our most recent show March 18th at the bridge, and it was beautiful, and it was a beautiful setting. We've done a lot of different places around Charlottesville, a few outside of Charlottesville. We're going to be going to Luray, Virginia for the Shen Sara, which is like a music festival with yoga, and it's very conscious raising, since of what we talk about, we're going to do that. And I'm trying to think, but anyways, for Big Blue Door, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So Big Blue Door is great, and so Jonah had started, she had done something.
Improv One.
Mm-hmm.
I took Improv One with Joel many, many years ago, and I love comedy improv because... Before we started the Fire Tigers,
mm-hmm.
because it's just like you're literally on stage with like nothing but everyone who's with you. You create this world, and it's spontaneous, and it's just my favorite form of comedy.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I want to do this. And so so I took the class, and then Flora ended up taking the class last year, two years ago. And so then Joel was like, do you want to do a joint show? And we were like, yes. And what's so awesome about this show, we did it exactly a year ago,
this last month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that, you know, with poetry, it tends to be very much like, you know, about trauma, actually,
feelings.
About working through things, or depending on what kind of poetry you have. Maybe you talk about nature, but, you know, so depending. But it tends to be serious and maybe existential and thoughtful. So that's like the seriousness.
And the platform is very teaching. Like, in some ways, like, experiential knowledge, like, the personal is political. So you're really, like, you're giving a seminar on your life, right? That's what I think spoken word and slam poetry does, right? So it's very serious and unique to one person, their experience.
Yeah, so you have that part.
And then you have, like, and that's like the heavy side of humanity, right? And then you have, like, let's make fun of it. Let's laugh and let's be joyful and let's be silly. And it's just this beautiful pairing between the two. And what's so great, too, is with improv, typically you only have a word that you go off of, or you have, like, maybe a very short 30-second kind of story. And so with this, you have a whole poem. So you have, like, lots so of material to work with.
We're going to talk about that. Okay. We got to pay some bills, but we'll be right back. We're talking about the Fire Tigers. They're going to do a show. This is Homegrown. Drop!
I'm Paige Naylor, local Charlottesville musician, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
47 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. Fire Tigers are with us in the studio. Flora Lark, Jonah Noel. They're doing a show called Fire and Smoke with Big Blue Door at the Bridge PAI June 30th. So talk about that.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. But first, we're going to stay tuned for Sunday morning wake-up call, aren't we? It's a previously recorded episode with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is Sherry Owen, Community Outreach Director of SARA, the Sexual Assault Resource Agency, talking about sexual assault and the cultural effect of the Me Too movement. Speaking of trauma, speaking of these cultural events and the cultural phenomenons that are surrounding us currently that are jostling to the fabric of humanity. Talk about how your show has changed, because I just want to give a little shout out to Jonah Noel, because when I've been workshopping this improv show that I'm doing, so it involves a lot of poetry. I don't know if it's spoken word or performance poetry. You can classify that whatever it is. But she helped me put on a show at Sevo Coffee when it was on South Street, and that was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So that was when I was living in Brooklyn, and I came back home, and I was like, "Can I do a show?" And they were like, "Yeah, that was awesome." So thank you, Jonah Noel. So. Y'all been doing this for a while.
Oh, yeah. So we actually had our first show at Bonn, and then a few months after, they were like, can you work for us? and so we did.
That's
we
how
did
it works.
End up, what was beautiful is the Fire Tigers is all about celebrating other people's creativity. In the show, there's two parts. After the first part, we open up the stage for anyone else who wants to share.
Dope.
And so it really is about everyone's creativity. And what was beautiful is when Bonn asked us to work for them, we were networking other people. Joel was one of them for the Big Blue Door.
So he had a regular
Melissa Charles
night there,
for DMR Adventures.
Yeah.
And like we were just like, come on everybody, let's do something. So so that's our connection to you.
And I also want to say in connection to the interview that's going to happen. The Me Too movement.
I'm sorry.
It's coming right after this show.
So in connection with that, I will say, so one thing we talk about in the show is obviously the importance of your voice and claiming your voice and sharing your voice for anyone. And that's really important. So Flora and I are activists, and we absolutely believe in activism. We also believe everyone has like their kind of activism and what like
Preach.
Speaks to them. And so, you know, you have people who can go out in the streets. You have people who can donate money, organize. You have all kinds of people who are doing all kinds of good things. By the way, we hear so many bad things right now. I can't handle looking at Facebook for a while anymore. So there's a lot of bad stuff going on, but there's also a lot of really good people doing good work, and it is happening. We just don't see it. So I just have to say that.
Yes. And the Fire Tigers is our activism. And one thing that we believe is that being an activist, you see all the injustice, all the suffering, all the historical trauma, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of get burnt out.
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of exhausting holding that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Fire Tigers, we were like, what can we offer? So the Fire Tigers believe that our self-care is activism. That
Preach.
If you take care of yourself,
that
the world becomes a more peaceful place for you and allows you to not burn out and be more engaged and be more healthy and successful.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we also do in the show is we bring resources, mental health resources, body work resources, anything that can help anyone feel better.
And work on themselves,
and
too.
And work on themselves so that you can process any of that anger, which is really just pain. That's what it's rooted in. Mm-hmm. And so so that is what we're trying to do. Like, not that we're giving people permission, but we're giving them an experience that does transform them to be like, this is important, and then we give them all this information about other ways to help them. And we also celebrate creativity and how that's healing. Each poem has a specific element that actually we didn't understand in the beginning. This was all a process for us, too. We had no idea. But after a while, we're like, oh, we really need a diagram, because we're kind of teaching the elements that we didn't realize.
Mm-hmm. Some people have called us like drama therapists, mm-hmm. where we're actually
trauma-informed performance.
Like, basically, you come and it's as if maybe, you know, we're talking to a counselor, but we're talking to you instead. Yes.
And there's two elements. There are two tigers. I'm a little more like this. Mm-hmm. Joan is a little more like that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very voice oriented. I'm very much empowering yourself, following your passion, listen to yourself, be who you are, and that's okay. And Joan is like, we're going to have a therapy session, and this is about healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really balance each other out. And what's beautiful for us, because I'm sure, as you guys know, performance is actually almost always about the audience. It's about what you get to offer them. And we get to see, you know, the optic nerve is very connected to the brain and the emotions, and we can see their eyes change and come with us on the journey that we create for them. And by the end, they're just like, what just happened?
Mm-hmm. I have all these questions. There's also no divide. So we typically don't use mics, and we don't like that kind of hierarchy that can happen when you have a stage and then people who have to listen to you. We also tell people, if you need to, you can leave.
You can leave.
You don't have to stay.
We
understand.
But we've had some good feedback from people who've seen the show, and they said that, and it's also not scripted. So the poems are really the only thing that's scripted.
Talk about the feedback that you've gotten, because right now I'm imagining that there's some guy sitting there like, oh, I'm not going to see it. Somebody's going to make me talk about my feelings.
It's interesting.
Don't worry, we talk about masculinity.
We talk about toxic masculinity. That's one of my favorite poems of the show. I guess my answer to that would be, for a long time, silence. They didn't know what to do with us. They were like, what just happened? And so we didn't really understand fully what we were offering. But through time, and actually the last show we did at the Bridge, March 18th, we had some friends, we had some fellow body healers who had helped us heal. And so so we actually highlighted healing as community experience. We wouldn't
it's
be as healthy and
effort.
Alive right now if the people in the audience weren't here to help and do what they are contributing to the world.
Yeah.
It was silence. And then other people, the brave, vulnerable people came up to us, because that's also, we talk about vulnerability in the show. So they were mirroring what we were trying to instigate in people. That there is a melting. It's like you try to break the ice. No, you melted it. There was no separation between us and the audience.
And we have a poem. We have the poem that we start off with the show.
Wanted to offer the poem. To
if we have time for it, I don't know.
It's only about 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay.
So maybe we can do that.
Perfect. Okay. So this is called Little Gray Cat, and this is how we start the show. We are hungry for what we cannot eat. I think this as I stroke our 22-year-old cat, a year younger than me. She is frail now, bony, but warm and round with a full belly. She gulps down her food as if it were her livelihood, as if it were the only thing that sustained her very being, and perhaps it is. She hasn't seen much of me this year. It has been ages since I've held her, and although I've fed her many times before, I never stopped to admire and stroke her elder essence. Little does she notice my hand reaching for her ragged, dreadful-looking coat, until I hear a faint purr, the hem of a little gray cat, the hum of loneliness unforgotten. A little voice that says,
yes, I am still here, still breathing, still needing, still purring. I may not be able to hear or see you very well, but I know that you are here with me.
And for a moment, I remember how it feels to forget that I am separate. Like this little gray cat, we too are starved for affection, for touch, for intimacy,
For it is the thing that matters most until it doesn't matter at all. Oh, to be touched ever so softly,
stroked ever so gently.
The union of senses.
The pressure of warm, pulsing bodies.
The thrill of connection.
Of unseparation.
Where we communicate in ways only touch can know. We have lost our humanity if we cannot see how we are this little hungry cat waiting eagerly for her dinner.
Waiting to be touched once more.
By the hand of humanity that feeds her.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That's how we started. So,
but it's a whole lot more than that.
It is.
It's hard to explain.
And you got it. And you
have to experience it.
You can't explain it. You got it.
You got to see it.
It is an experience. Fire and smoke. Joint show with the big blue doe at the bridge. PAI going down June 30th. Please come back.
Yes,
we will. Oh, we love so excited. Yes,
so happy.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We got 2.5 minutes, Leslie.
That was an awesome show, David.
It was a beautiful show.
Right?
An amazing show. I just want to give a shout out. My music pick this week. I'm going to start doing music picks.
Okay.
I'm listening to music more. Kamasi Washington, Heaven and Earth. If you got Spotify, you should check it out. I know you're going to love you some Kamasi Washington.
No, you know what?
It's like Herbie Hancock on steroids. It's amazing.
And also, Professor A.D. Carson dropped his new album
Friday. Local love.
And it is absolutely gorgeous.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure he put his foot in it.
I bought it, and please, you can download it without purchasing, but please,
show some
local love to this amazing, prophetic, intelligent artist, and, you know, spend $10, people. You can do $10. So I downloaded it, Friday afternoon, because I knew I was like, no, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to light my candles, and I'm going to, lay down. I wanted it to be an experience, because, you know, AD's one of those people that, you always want to have a recorder around when he's talking, because everything that comes out of his mouth is gold. So I literally, laid down, had my candles lit, and started listening to it, and I haven't stopped. I've been listening to it on repeat for 2 days now.
It's great.
So,
you gotta pick it up. $10.
So prophetic.
That's a craft beer, anywhere in Charleston.
For real.
So
instead of buying a beer,
get yourself some PBR and support some local love.
That's right.
Just for a day or so. So I guess that's all we got. Clinton, I love you. Leslie, I love you. Shout out to the Fire Tigers.
I love you more.
Mary Anna Dunn for being on the show. Stay tuned. Sherry Owen from Sarah is going to be in here talking about sexual assault and Me Too. Should be a great show. Thank you, Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. This has been Homegrown, and we will see y'all next week.
Peace. This has been Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. We'd like to thank our guests, Mariana Dunn, Flora Larkin, Jonah Noel from the Fire Tigers. Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. Any complaints, of course, you can take them to our attorneys. We'll see you next week.